talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Basically, the fruit of the Spirit, if you want to put the slide up there, Eric, it says on Galatians 5:22-23, it says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law." 2 weeks ago, Pastor Heather spoke on the spirit of love. Last week, Pastor Joe spoke on joy. So guess what I get to speak on today? That's right, peace, dude. And maybe you guys are a lot like me. When I think about the word peace, I think of a guy back in the 70s, you know, a long-haired hippie, which I used to be back when I had hair. But I picture a guy, long-haired hippie, maybe with a tie-dye shirt, bell-bottoms, driving a Volkswagen van going, peace, dude. But or maybe if you're like Greg Bush, he's not in here, but I'll pick on him anyways. He likes food. When he thinks about peace, he thinks of a piece of pie or cake. I'm just kidding. But I want to talk to you guys actually about the spirit of peace this morning. I mean, it is a Holy Spirit gift. Just as much in the Assemblies of God as we believe as the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the initial physical evidence of that is that we speak in tongues. It is a gift of the Lord that the fruits of the Spirit operate in our life. And just as much so this morning. And a good example of that here in the last month that we've seen of that gift of peace in action is in Pastor Joe's life. Here he's experienced the loss of his brother over the past month. And during that time, over the last Sunday or the Wednesday night before that, he had stated in there that him, his brothers, and his family had experienced a supernatural time of peace during that time. Sure, they had a grieving time. They were they were disappointed. They lost their brother, son also. And they were going through a time of grieving there. But they experienced that supernatural peace in their life. And over the course of the last month, I actually had that peace gift operate in my life, too. I've been working in printing as my other job for the last 21 years, besides being a music pastor. I've been working in printing. When I came to Grand Rapids, I naturally got a job in the printing. And I've been working really hard towards a position that I wanted. For the last 17 out of the 21 years I've been a customer service rep, was wanting to move into sales. And I let everybody know that my sales rep is soon going to be retiring. I let everybody know that my coworkers, my bosses, everything, that I wanted that position. I was doing everything I could to get that position. And I was informed amongst a group of peers a few weeks ago that that position had been handed to somebody else. Well, I've been working so hard for that and had it so ingrained in my mind that I wanted that position, a lot of eyes in that, as you notice there, that I could have really got upset, really could have just let go on them. But I chose at that point to make a commitment that I was not going to be bitter about it, that I wasn't going to be. I was going to be a positive person about it, and I was going to be at peace about it. And, I got out of the meeting, and a couple of my peers came up to me, and they were saying, "Matt, how did you feel about that? You know, what did you think about that?" And I said, "I'm not necessarily happy about the situation, but I'm not going to be bitter about it. I choose to have a positive attitude to this. I'm not going to complain about it. I don't know what God's going to do down the road. Maybe He doesn't even want me to go for that position. So I'm not going to be bitter about it. I'm going to be peaceful about that situation." And folks, I'll tell you, that was the spirit of peace working in my life, because I tell you, my flesh did not want to do that. My flesh wanted to walk out the door and tell them what I thought, and it wasn't peace, dude. But, God supernaturally moved in my life, and I started thinking over the last few weeks about the story of Joseph, and I'm talking about Joseph, the Joseph that got the amazing technicolor dream coat Joseph, not just Mary and Joseph, but the Joseph with the coat of many colors. And I started thinking about Joseph's life. And while Joseph may apply more to other fruits of the Spirit there, his patience, his faithfulness going on there, I seen peace in Joseph's life through the situation he had to deal with. I'm going to because of time, cap this in as much as I can, because the actual story is about 4 or 5 chapters long in Genesis 37 through 41 area. And basically what Joseph did was he was highly favored by his dad. He was a dreamer. He was a visionary. Because he was one of the youngest sons, him and his brother Benjamin, they were like the youngest sons. They were home with their dad all the time. They were highly favored by his dad. In fact, so much so that Joseph received that famous coat of many colors that we all know about. And while Joseph, one day he came in and told his brothers and his father that I had a dream. I had a vision from the Lord. And in that vision, I seen that, basically to sum it up, that I was going to rule and reign over you guys. I was going to be in leadership over you guys. Well, how many of you know his brothers were already jealous of him, and that caused him to be even more jealous. They didn't like the fact that his brother was a dreamer, and he was thinking that he was going to be in something even more powerful position than them. So one day they're out working in the fields, they're out in the fields, and they see Joseph coming from a long distance away. And they plotted to kill Joseph. Now, some of you think that you have family problems. It pales in the comparison to what Joseph had to deal with there. Joseph, they were plotting to kill Joseph, and one of his older brothers, Reuben, stood up basically and said, no, don't do that. Let's throw him in a pit here. There was a deep pit there, and they threw him in the pit, left him there. Reuben went away for a while, and while Reuben was away, they went ahead and sold Joseph to a caravan, sold him into slavery, their own brother. Think about that. And Joseph went, and he got in, actually one of the captain of the army, the captain of the guards, was named Potiphar. And he actually went in and worked for Potiphar while he was in slavery, and he became highly favored, even though he was in a position that he wouldn't have wanted to be in. He became highly favored in there, so much so that he basically ran Potiphar's household. He controlled it, did everything in the household. And one day Potiphar's wife began to catch the eye of Joseph, and she began to try to seduce him. She wanted to sleep with him, basically. And she began to try to seduce him, and Joseph basically fled from her, ran from her. But when he did, she grabbed his cloak, his coat. Then, there again, Joseph being an obedient servant, being a faithful servant, trying to run away from the situation, she grabbed his cloak, his robe or whatever it was, pulled it off of him, and then she turned it into her husband and said, basically, that Joseph was trying to seduce her and was put him in a position with Potiphar. He was put back into prison, He was served several years in prison. He was actually highly favored and blessed while he was in prison, so much so that he helped him out take care of things in prison. He had dreams, visions he had interpreted while he was in prison and everything. And one day, Pharaoh, who was in charge of the country, he came out and he had a dream, a vision from the Lord, or dream or vision that he didn't know about. He didn't know how to interpret. He didn't know what was going on with it. And it was bugging him. It was perplexing him. And he called out throughout the land for somebody to interpret the dream. And they found Joseph. Somebody remembered Joseph from interpreting an earlier dream. Joseph came out and interpreted the dream, and Joseph was highly favored and blessed again, and he finally seen his dream come to pass after years and years and years. Joseph was put into a position where he was basically right under Pharaoh, and he was able to help not only help the land out and help the land during a time of famine, saving up and storing up for the time of famine that was to come, but Joseph ultimately got to repair his relationship with his brother and with his brothers and with his father, and got to see his father again. When I looked at this story, and I realized I just summed it up basically because of the amount of chapters there this morning, but when I looked at the story and looked through this story, I just seen the amount of peace that Joseph was dealing with through this situation. I mean, his brothers were going to try to kill him. They were going to sell him into slavery. They did sell him into slavery, yet he was able to forgive them later on for what they did. And not only do that, he was able to bless them and take care of the situation. And not only Joseph did that, but he actually had to serve years and years in prison, even though he was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. And I was thinking about that, and the Lord, he never promised us that everything was going to be cake. You know, there's a scripture in John chapter 16, 33 that says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace in this world. You will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We're all going to have to go through times that are a battle in our life. It's not going to be cake. You know, we may have a vision and a dream from the Lord. We may have something that we are wanting to achieve in our life. But we're all going to have troubles and trials that we have to face because there's sin in this world. Another scripture goes with that is Psalms 34:19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That word afflictions there could be stand for trials and tribulations. Many are the trials and tribulations of the righteous. It's not cake for us just because we're Christians. God doesn't take care of everything for us. He allows us to go through it and build us up. But thankfully, he didn't stop there. Many are the trials and tribulations of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. He helps us through all those situations. And some things I just want to share with you this morning, found in Philippians 4:6-9, I want to read to you. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Three things that I want to mention to you this morning if you want to walk in peace, basically. How can we walk in peace? How can we have peace? Well, the first thing I want to share with you is to trust God for everything. The first part of that scripture tells us don't be anxious for anything. That word anxious could basically be don't worry about anything, don't have fret about anything, don't care about anything. Put it all on the Lord. Trust Him for everything. If He said He was going to bring you through that situation, He's going to do it. You might have to go through some obstacles and some things that may take years. It may not happen in the timing that we want. But God will do it. He's faithful to do what He said He was going to do. You know, I remember my mom used to teach me back in, it's a long time ago, but she was teaching me parts, basically. I remember basically in my younger 20s, basically my mom trying to teach me how to sing vocal parts. And she would work with me on vocal parts, and the way she did it was with hymns, because she could pick out the lines in there and pick out the vocal parts. And a song she used to teach me was a song called "Come Unto Me." I don't know if you know the hymn, but it says, "Come unto me." Let me find it. Sorry. It says, "Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light." Well, that actually comes from a scripture found in Matthew 11, 28 through 30 that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," or peace. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We need to, when we have our trust in the Lord and we're putting our trust in the Lord, we have to realize that He's going to carry that burden for us. If we cast our cares upon the Lord and allow Him to take that situation from us and allow us to, we can walk in peace that way and know that He's going to do it for us. You know, another thing that He does, not only is do we keep our trust in the Lord in everything, but we need to include God in everything. The rest of that scripture found in Philippians 4:6 says, "But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Now think about it in your day-to-day lives each day. How many of you get up, you take a shower, you get cleaned up, you go to work, you do your job every day, and how many do we really ask God to help us because we can do it in our power? Do we go about our day, drive to work, not even worried about somebody hitting us or something happening when our life could change instantly? Why not say a prayer each morning and say, "Lord, I want to include you this morning. I need your help. I need you to help me to get to work this morning. Make sure I'm safe. Bring me home safely this evening. Help me to do my job today, dear God. Help me to do my job skillfully and accurately and not get upset with people, but to walk in peace in everything I do." I don't think we realize how much we don't include God in our days. Sure, we say prayers at night and maybe in the morning and prayers during our food, but how much do we miss the opportunities during the day that we could include God in? And I want to encourage you this morning to do that. Not only trust in Him, but to include God in everything that we do. And a third thing, finally, that I want to mention to you is that we need to keep our thoughts on God. Philippians 4:8, which is the end part of that scripture, says, "Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is admirable, if any of these things is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things." We need to keep our focus on the Lord during our day. If He's the thrust of our day, we're going to walk in peace no matter what that situation is. No matter if we're passed over on that job opportunity, no matter if we're passed over on certain things, and it doesn't happen in the timing we want. We're walking at peace because we have that vision, that dream from the Lord that we're heading for. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Folks, there's something that happens when you and I keep our focus on the Word, keep our mind buried in the Word, and keep our focus throughout the day, putting the Word in our heart, be it listening to CDs, be it listening to Scripture, and putting it in our life. We are going to walk in peace, no matter what the situation is going on in our life. I want to encourage you guys this morning. There's a scripture out there in Psalm 34:14 that says, "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." It is a gift from the Holy Spirit that you and I can walk in. But we have to seek after those gifts. We have to pursue them just like we do the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit in here this morning, all you have to do is seek after Him with all your heart. Open your heart for it. There may be times that you have a little, it might not happen in the timing you want. You may come down the altar and it may not happen immediately. But if you keep getting pursuant, God's going to see that hunger in your life. You're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you do that. And not only that, you can not only just speak in other tongues, but you can experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit and you can walk in them in your life. You can walk in peace. You can walk in love. You can walk in joy. But you have to go after it. You have to make a choice this morning to do like I did when I had to deal with that situation when I was at work. I could have chose to got upset about it. I could have chose to walk out that door and put myself and my family in a predicament because I didn't have a job. But I chose peace in that situation, and I'm expecting God to do something. So this morning, let's all stand together. You know, there's something significant about putting things down at the altar, and some of you may be carrying burdens in your